Good morning, church. Today is Mother's Day. I want to wish all the mothers among our midst have good health with God's abundant blessing. Normally, I would ask all the moms to stand up just so that you can clap hands, but I guess we can still do that at your own place. And we owe a lot of our life, our success to our mothers. And today I pick a topic. You probably don't find this in other churches. And I'm going to talk about elderly, older people. This is something that is close to my heart. During this pandemic period, I really felt that God has given me a message to talk about the elderly, seniors, in our community, in our church, in our family. And you probably all know that during this pandemic crisis, that the group, the age group that suffer the most are the elderly. When the government said that no, we'll close down school, malls, all the places, and in the US at least, all the young people just flocked to the beaches and pack the beaches. No, they think that they are invincible. And during this pandemic period, and we all know this, a lot of the ones got seriously ill, infected, or even death of the older ones, the elderly in our community. And my heart feel really sad when I read this. I saw this on the news. Once in the old folks' home, the most vulnerable ones, the older ones. And it's a wake-up call for our government, our country, that we need to put more resources to help look after our elderly in our community, in our country. A few weeks ago, a Cantonese sister passed away, but because of natural death, 105 years old. It's really God's blessing. She passed away in an old folks' home, but not because of the virus, because of natural death. It's really had to praise God. But it is a bit sad. Only the pastor, one of our pastors, was there to sing to her during her last hours. But even her family, when they came, they cannot be close to her. They have to still can only talk to her through a TV set. It is sad. And last week, the U.S. Declared that May is the month of older Americans, the older Americans month. Last Thursday, they make this declaration. Older Americans are cherished and invaluable members of our society, deserving our utmost respect, gratitude, and admiration. During Older Americans Month, we pause to draw upon the wisdom, spirit, and experience older adults bring to our families, our communities, and our nation. I think it's a very meaningful declaration. I hope we can do that the same in Canada. But it prompted me to think that maybe our church, we should also declare a older VCAC members month to recognize the contribution of our seniors. Our church, as a Chinese church, I think we have higher than other churches proportion-wise seniors. And I think, what's the reason for it? Well, first, we are an older church. You know, we have a history of over 50 years. So obviously, an older church, you have more older members. But I also attribute it to one of the reasons. During the earlier years, our church has planted quite a few other churches. Now today, they become quite big churches. And then there are groups of members who left here and formed churches of other denominations. And God really blessed them. So sprung from here, there are many new churches are planted, built, to give praying to God. So usually when you plan a church, who do you send off? Usually are the younger one, the younger family. But the older ones stay behind. So I think I attribute that this could be one of the reasons. And a third reason I can think of is because our seniors are so faithful to VCC. So they stay here for 30, 40, 50 years. That's why we have a high proportion of seniors. And they have been the warriors, prayer warriors of VCC over our history. Go to prayer meetings, usually are the older members, seniors. It's not that I want to promote this, become an old people prayer meeting. No, young people should come as well. But this prayer, the most important ministry of the church, has been very often left to seniors. They have been praying faithfully for the needs of the children, youth, our financial needs, mission, our missionaries. And they look after all the cleaning of the church and other behind-the-scenes work. Once a month, an older sister would come to church, not now, when we were still open. She would come to church by bus, and she needs a walker. She doesn't walk very well now. She have a walker, she took a bus to church once a month to tidy up the sanctuary. To clean up a bit the mess in the sanctuary, put back the hymn books. And every Thursday, a group of senior sisters will come and prepare the communion. You don't think those communion, we bought them. But someone needs to prepare them. So a lot of the older people in the church, they faithfully serve most of the time behind the scene. They prepared dinner for the younger family fellowships. They will come to church very early in the afternoon sometimes to prepare the food for the young family gatherings. They will prepare, they will serve, but they will not join the meeting. This is come and do the work almost like a maid. They come and cook, and then they even clean the dishes, and then they just quietly disperse and go home. So they've been doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work. So we really have to appreciate our older members of our church. And they, even though they're old, they're older, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. Praise the Lord. And this morning I want to encourage all our not so young members. Maybe I shouldn't use the word old, but that include myself. Not so young. And let's not forget that when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, he was 80 years old. When Daniel knelt down and prayed three times facing towards Jerusalem, he was 90 years old. And John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, he was 90 years old. God used us despite our age. So I want to encourage all the not-so-young members at VCC that God can still use us. As we get older, we have a very unique responsibility, is to pass on our spiritual legacy to the younger ones, for the church. When we get older, it's not just you yourself, it's about others, about God's people, God's church, God's kingdom. We, especially as Asians, we like to save, work hard, save a lot of money, and then give it to our children. But we as people of God, we need to save something even more important for the younger ones in our church. Spiritual legacy. What spiritual legacy can we leave to the next generations? Paul, in this book, 2 Timothy, in these few verses, it gives us a reminder, a lessons, teachings. What he and the mother and grandmother of Timothy, they also seniors, what they have given to Timothy as spiritual legacies. Paul in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 3 said, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. First thing that Paul here teaching us, he is passing on his spiritual legacy, his life of prayers. He had been praying for Timothy day and night. Have you been doing that? As I said, most of the people who come to the prayer meeting are older people. They're faithfully praying. And for some of you who may have the fortunate enough to meet our founder, Pastor Chow, he is a man of prayers. And when I first became an elder of the church, I remember he told me that, you know, Norman, you have to come to the Wednesday night prayer meeting. This is not an option. Same for all the pastors. I still remember he was speaking English to me. I don't know why he was speaking English to me. This is not an option. I said, yes, sir. Pastor Chow was a man of prayer. I am a long way behind him to learn from him, his legacy. And we as the senior members of the church, praying, we have to pray for the next generation. And the reason we pray for them, Paul here continues to show us, because Paul really loved Timothy, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Just from this one verse here, we can see how much Paul really loved Timothy. I'm longing to see you. And of course, you have to know that when Paul wrote this, he was in a prison, which I will talk about later on. He was in a very horrible prison cell. Terrible prison cell. But he has a genuine love for Timothy. That's why he would pray, can pray for him. And the mother of Timothy, grandmother, they also pray for Timothy. So on Mother's Day, I want to especially remind all the mother and the fathers as well, we need to pray for your children. Pray for them day and night. So that they will walk straight in God's directions. And Paul here loved Timothy. That's why he can pray for them. When I was young, before I got married, I was still in school, there was an elderly lady at church. She's a woman of prayers. So every time, very often when she saw me, she would say, Norman, I've been praying for you this week that God will give your wife. I guess she's worried that no one will marry me. So I always thank her. And she keeps saying this for some time. And then, of course, finally, God obviously answered her prayer. So God gave me a good wife. I know that she really loved me. That's why she prayed not only for my ministry, she prayed that I will have a wife. We have to love our young people. We have to learn to love them. We pray for them. We love them. We support them. And I know that a lot of these seniors here, they really love our young people. They always really want to be with the young people, even though the young people may not be want to be with them. They dedicate the time to come and cook for the young family. Very often they will cook and wash dishes. That's because they love the young people. So we have to pass on our spiritual life to them through prayers, through our love, through our faith. Verse 5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith with you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. So Timothy's mother and grandmother has passed on this sincere faith. This faith is more than just talking, teaching, instructions. It is this faith that's in us that we pass on to our children, our next generation. We have to demonstrate this faith through our life. My grandmother and mother have a great influence on me. And when I was young, my mother was sick, so most of the time it was my grandmother who took us to school. When we moved to Canada, and my mother is a bit better. So I still remember when I was young, and one time I went to the grocery, the corner store. In those days, they have a lot of corner stores. Small stores at the corner, corner stores. So I went to buy something, and then I came home. I told my mom, "Wait, mom, look, the storekeeper gave me extra changes. Here, look at, I got more money. He made a mistake and gave me all these extra changes. I was so happy." And then my mom stared at me. "You bring these changes back to the store. This doesn't belong to you." So okay, so I took the changes back to the store. I said, "No, you gave me too much." So I still remember so many years that my mom saw us. Not only it taught us to be honest, but it demonstrated to us we have to be honest person. Abraham Lincoln, the ex-U.S. president. "All that I am or hope to be, I owe it to my angel mother. Everything that I have is because of my mother." So I'm sure today is Mother's Day. I'm sure we can all share this. Our mother has great influence on us. But we are also in church. We are also serving the younger people, like father, like mother, especially in the children's ministry. You know, they look at us like their uncles, aunties. Paul here, first we have to pass on our life, our spiritual heritage, our faith. We pray for them, we love them, we show them, we demonstrate our faith through our life to them. The second is we have to fan up the gift that we have confirmed in their life. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So Paul has laid hands on Timothy, maybe it's an ordination, to confirm the gift, the spiritual gift that's in him. But maybe Timothy is falling back a bit. Maybe he is getting nervous, scared. Timothy is obviously a timid person. So pause here to reconfirm that God has given you these spiritual gifts. And he's going to fan it up again, fan up the flame, the fire again. So second thing here, Paul taught us, we have to show our love, our care. We have to fan up this energy in the younger people again. We have to help them to establish and to use the spiritual gifts that they have. It's no longer about us. It's no longer about what I can do. It's what I can help the younger generation to do. 30, 40 years ago, there was the church is a lot smaller, and all the interpretation, English to Chinese, Chinese to English, was done by one deacon. In those days, we don't have elders, so deacon is the same as elder. So this deacon was doing all the interpretation. He's really good at it, and we all admire him. So one day he gathered some of the younger people, including myself, and said, "I'm going to train you to be the interpreter." And I said, "I can never be as good as you." He said, "Don't worry, I will train you." So he gave us not that much training, about 2 hours. And then next thing is, "Now you are the interpreters. I'm not going to interpret anymore." So he picked us to experience, to fail. And then eventually I become doing most of the interpretation at church for the last many years. But now, in the last few months, and I think I have equipped a few interpreters. And now I don't have to do interpretation anymore. So they are younger ones that taking up this job. So we have to fan up afresh and courage. We have to give them power and to encourage, to support them, because they are younger people. Usually, they sometimes has less faith. They feel weak. So Paul here said, of power and love and discipline. So we have to support the younger people. Not only to support them so that they can be all they can be, we have to sometimes to work with them, especially in challenging tasks. It's easy to work with people, to share with people during good times. It's easy to share with people in birthday parties, in weddings. But sometimes we have to share with people, to support people, to work alongside people in jobs that may not be that favorable, jobs that maybe we don't want to do, jobs we may have to give a price. So Paul here said that, join with me in suffering. I'm suffering with you in the ministry. And many years ago, I still remember, that's quite a number of years ago, when the church was burned down, someone came in, set fire, and tried to burn down our church. So there's a huge damage inside the church. The benches are all burned, but the wall of the church stayed because they made of bricks. And then at that time, we are financially are not as well established. So the church invite the younger people to come to church to help to clean up. So I say young, energetic students, and so I came to church at night, you know, every night to help clean up the church. And then I saw, one night I came in, it was quite hot, it was in the summer. I saw one of the deacons, church deacons. He was a medical doctor. So he came in, I said, oh, he must be really busy, you know, as a medical doctor. I said, I am going to clean up the church with you together. So he came, he took off his shirt from work. After he came from work, he took off his shirt. So he was wearing just his underwear, and he was a skinny guy. So he wore his underwear, his tank top underwear. I still remember it's white, and it is skinnier than me. So he and I were together, two of us were carrying all this garbage and new wood boards and all these chipboards. And all night we were carrying the whole night, and he was all sweating. And then we were till really late in the night. And then he even bought a pop for us to drink. And then after that, they'll sit there and then start telling us stories until really late in the night. So that was like 40 years ago, at least. But it still, to me, seemed like it was happened yesterday. Somehow, all the things he talked to me, he was a deacon. But all the things I learned from him, somehow these incidents that night always seemed to stay fresh in my mind. So it's not what we talk, speak, teach. It's what we do with people, especially in challenging times. So Paul said, join with me in suffering. So Paul is passing his life, same as Timothy's mother and grandmother, passing their lives to you, to Timothy, and supporting Timothy to use his spiritual gift to the fullest extent, to support him, give him strength, to demonstrate, actually to even to do and with work with him together. And also third, to teach the next generation God's word. This may sound very typical. We always talk about teaching Bible, but this is most important. The future of our church, we don't know. When we are not here, we don't know how this church will be. Will we go left, go right? But we need to teach God's word. For pastors, we need to preach God's word, not just stories. We need to preach God's word in our sermons. It's very important. I know that the parents want their children to learn many things, but there's nothing more important than learning God's word. And that from childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Our church have to continue. We have to teach God's word. Not only teaching with our mouth, but with our experience. We need to first ourselves experience the wisdom from the scripture, and then we share our experience with our marriage, how our marriage is blessed when we follow God's teaching, and then we share with the young people, not just the word from the scripture. We learn from the Bible how we raise godly children, and then we share this wisdom with the people in the next generation in our church. We learn how to overcome sin by following the teaching from the Bible. And then we share this experience with the younger generation in our church. We learn how to serve God according to God's will from the scripture, and then we learn, we share this ministry experience with the younger people around us. So this is what Paul is teaching us here. We have to pass on our spiritual life by praying for them, loving them, and demonstrating to them. We have to pass on our spiritual life by showing them the Bible, by walking through difficult times with them, by supporting them, by confirming their spiritual gift, by raising them up. It's no longer me, us, it's them, the future of God's the warriors in God's kingdom. And we, and you as younger generation, I guess it's you now, as the younger generation, I didn't say the age, the younger generation, we have to respect the elderly. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged. My hair is getting gray. And you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. You shall rise up. Stand up. Stand up in the presence of the aged. NIV. Stand up. So when I was younger, when I was in the bus, in the transit, I always gave my seat to the elderly. But even slowly, when I get up and try to give my seat to the elderly, and then they would not dare to sit down because they look at me and they thought that I'm younger, but actually I'm not that young. That's the benefit of being an Asian. They look at me and look like you're younger than me, you know, he's not there to sit down. So eventually I don't yield my seat anymore. I just sit there and pretend that I'm really old, and people will. So one day I get on the bus, and then I stood in front of a young lad who was sitting down there, and then he saw me, he got up, and I pushed him down and said that there's no need, I'm okay. So a minute later, he tried to get up again, and I pushed him down, it's okay, I'm fine, I don't need to sit down. And the third time, he tried to get up, I pushed him down, and said that it's okay, I said no, I don't need to sit down. And then he stared at me and said, sir, I really have to get off the bus, I missed 3 stops already. So here when he say you rise up, doesn't mean that you stand up when the elders, the elderly come to church. It's a respect. You respect them just like we respect our God. Wow, that is serious. You respect God, you respect the elderly. It's a parallel here, the teaching. We have to respect the older people. So we do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father. To the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters, in all purity. First thing Paul here, the Bible teaches us is to, we have to respect the seniors in our midst, in our community, even outside our church, we have to respect them. So during this pandemic, we have to pray for them. This Mother's Day, so you make sure that you talk to your mom today, Zoom her or call her. I'm not sure you can visit her. Depends on your situation. At least call your mom. Respect them. Listen to them. Respect them because they have gone through school without Google or Wikipedia. I added the word. Without the need of Google or Wikipedia. Can you imagine today that when you prepare your term paper, you're not allowed to use Google or Wikipedia? I want to see how you prepare your paper. But when I went through school, there was no internet yet. So we respect the ones, because this is a humorous proverb. But we respect them because they have gone through without Google or Wikipedia. Respect them because they have a lot of wisdom. Wisdom is with aged man, and with length of days, understanding. I'm not saying that all the older people are always right, but you listen to them not because they're always right, but because they have more experiences of being wrong. How's that sound? I think that sounds better. They've been wrong more often than you. So that's why you have to learn from their failures. Now, if I put it that way, you may sound it far easier to accept. We listen to them because they have more experience in trying things, doing things wrong, but also doing things right. We respect them. Because they have spent a lot of time in serving you, helping the church behind the scenes. Lord, the renovation at the Awana here, done by our own members. We build a lot of things here. We build the platform for the drums. We did a lot of the sound system ourselves. Lord, cleaning. And a lot of things that the elderly came while you were at work, at school. They did things that we never mentioned, talked about. They did a lot of things behind the scenes to support this church. They're very faithful. We have to respect them. We listen to them. We draw from their wisdom. And finally, do not cast me off in a time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. I mean, the church, we need to do more. I know we always talk about a lot of children programs, young people programs. And we have to do more. I think that give me a reminder in this pandemic. The church have to focus just as well on the needs of our seniors. Even though they don't complain, they never complain. They never say that if you don't do this, I will leave the church. No, they just really happy, faithfully come every Sunday, every Saturday morning, bring their offerings to church. Even now, during this time, they just faithfully support the church. We have to look after them. Just like the psalmist saying here. They need people to help them to be a pianist, to lead singing in their fellowship. They're a bit tired to even that. They need people to drive them. They always need people to drive them to the fellowship because they're all older people. They cannot drive. They take a bus. The younger people, they can drive. We can support them. We can visit them in the care home. We can call them up. There are many things we can do, but besides respecting them, listen to them, we have to look after them. I think this is our church responsibilities. What spiritual legacy can we leave behind? Some years ago, when there was a display of the, in Seattle, in the Science Center, they display all the discoveries of King Tut. I'm sure you have heard this, King Tut. He was a pharaoh of the old Egypt in the 1323 BC. He died very young. He was 18 years old, very young. This was one of the greatest discoveries in Egypt. The reason, because over 3,000 years, no one ever broken into the grave. So they were able to recover everything, almost everything. There are over 3,000 very valuable discoveries. There was a gold chariot, a gold coffin, a gold artifact, worth a lot of money, very valuable. But what has this King Tut, 18-year-old, left behind for his generation? Or even for us, besides something we can see in the museum. This is the gravestone of Hudson Taylor. We all know Hudson Taylor. The first missionary to the interior of China. This is his gravestone in a church in China today. Nothing fancy here. There, no gold coffin, just a stone. But the spiritual heritage that he left behind is for years after him, that his children continue to be missionaries to China. So Paul here, trying to leave a spiritual legacy for Timothy, and actually for us today. But do you know that when Paul prepared 2 Timothy, he was in isolation, like us, except that the place of his isolation is 10,000 times worse than our isolation, our place. He was in a prison in Rome, and people believe that this was the prison that he was in, still in Rome, that you can still tour. It's 4 meters below ground. That how do you enter this prison shell? There's a hole on the floor above, a hole about this big, that they use a rope to lower the prisoners in there, and then they retrieve the rope. Then you stay there, no way to get out. You cannot see the sunlight. You stay there. I don't know how often they let you out. There's no light, probably no water, no hygiene equipment. It's a very dirty, dark, cold in winter, hot in the summer, no air conditioning. I cannot look out, no flowers. You cannot, that's all you can walk around. I don't know how many prisoners in there. Paul was lonely, probably not much food to eat, probably just enough water to survive. He was in such a terrible environment. And yet, he left with Timothy and us today this rich spiritual legacy. So let's learn from Paul what spiritual legacy we can leave to the next generation, to our family, our children, our church members. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and I will declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Let God help us to leave behind a rich spiritual legacy for the next generation, for our family, for our community, and for the not so old, the younger ones. I changed this old American month to something else, which we read earlier, and let's cherish, here it says cherish the Americans, but let's cherish the invaluable members of our church. Let's respect the elderly, show our gratitude to our seniors in our church. Let's admire our seniors. They have given so much to our church. And let's pause to draw the wisdom, spirit, and experience of our seniors in our church that they have brought to our community. And let's learn from them. Let's respect them. Let's take care of them. Let's pray together. Father, Mother's Day today, we pray that you will bless all the mothers in our midst, that they will continue to leave a spiritual legacy, just like Eunice, Lewis, to their children. And we, the seniors, elderly of the church, that we also to raise up, to fan the energy in our younger members, that we will use our life experience to show them God is faithful. And for the younger ones, help us to respect the elders, to learn from their wisdom. I don't say that they are old-fashioned our days, but to learn from their failure as well. And so that we can all grow as the community of believers in you, so that we can expand the kingdom of God. We pray for all the elderly in our community. During this pandemic time, God have mercy and protect them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.